Hey, this is Cooper Smith. I'm one of the student worship pastors at Eastview, and I'm honored to welcome you to our Eastview Students High School podcast. We hope this is encouraging, inspiring, and helpful for you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy the message.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Hey, guess what? It's over 50 degrees, right? Come on. Oh, so good. So good to be with you guys this morning. I want to give you a little saying that maybe you've said at least once in your lifetime before. That's not fair. That's not fair. Probably the anthem of like growing up as a child. How many of you guys in here have siblings? Okay? I guarantee you every single one of you has said that phrase before. If you have siblings, that's not fair. Let me tell you some examples of things that were argued in my house with my sisters. Okay, first thing, that's not fair that he gets to be the one to sit on the side of the table by himself. Okay, because, all right, family with three kids, I have two younger sisters, they always said, whenever I sat on the side by myself, that's not fair. Why do I have to sit on the side with my sister? Here's another one. That's not fair that she gets to eat the middle roll. Okay? Okay, because no one wants the edge rolls, all right? They're hard. All right, you want the soft inside one. That's not fair. How come she gets the inside roll? This one happened a lot. Okay, that's not fair. How come she didn't get a spanking for that? Because I definitely would have. That's not fair. That's not fair. My sister said this to me. That's not fair. How come he got to get a car when he was 16, but I don't? Right? That's not fair. Or I said this to my younger sisters too. That's not fair that they get to stay up late watching a movie when I had to go to bed at 8. That's not fair. You could probably think of a ton of things in your lifetime that maybe you've said those things. That's not fair. But the thing is, the feeling of fairness never really goes away. Even as an adult, we still struggle with this idea of that's not fair. It's marked all over politics. You see this all the time. Politics always argues in terms of this not being fair and why our country never agrees on anything, right? That's not fair that the government uses my tax dollars to pay for that. Or that's not fair that the rich people don't have to pay more taxes because the poorer get poorer. But then it's flipped on the other side. Well, that's not fair that the rich have to pay more taxes because that's their hard-earned money. Right? That's not fair is everywhere. And that's why I think every situation just needs a good mom or dad wherever, to step into the situation and say the one phrase that maybe you've heard, I heard all the time. Hey, you know what? Life's not fair. Right? Life's not fair. Which, okay, that's true, but like the worst answer ever. Right? Like, we want to know the why. We want to know why. Why is life not fair? Why does he get a car when he's 16 and I don't? Why does she get the middle roll and I don't? Why didn't she get a spanking for when clearly I would have? We want to know the why. And guys, clearly, I'm not still salty about these things. But after reading through today's story, that was my initial reaction. That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem fair. This morning, we're starting our new series, which, guys, cool graphic, right? All right, we're talking about the Passover. And so if you guys have your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to jump back a little bit for this series, okay? We've kind of been jumping around the book of Exodus. We're going to go back a little bit and learn about one of the oldest traditions in Bible history, okay? The context comes at the very last night of the last plague, okay? So if you guys have been with us, you've been journeying through Exodus, or maybe you know just a little bit about this Old Testament story, right? Moses goes to Pharaoh and he says, to let my people go. Pharaoh, of course, says no. So God brings the plagues, right? And what we're getting to this morning is we're going to focus on this last plague because it's this tradition called the Passover. And whether you've been a Christian maybe your whole life, or maybe you're just searching and trying to figure out, okay, what is following Jesus? What does Christianity mean? This is the story of the Old Testament that I will just tell you right now, I think points the most to Jesus. And that's kind of why we're going to focus this morning and through this series on the Passover, because we're going to point to Jesus. This is all going to lead up to Easter, but we're going to start with Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And I'm going to read to verse 6. Now, while the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat, with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of this first month, and then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. Let me pray for us and ask God to speak to us this morning. God, I'm encouraged by looking out at this room of high school students that have come to hear truth from your word, to worship you, to exalt you, God. And I pray this morning that as we start this new series, as we talk about what this sacrificial lamb is, that our students would come to understand Jesus more. God, would you speak to them this morning? Would you pierce their hearts? Would you help them grow in their knowledge of who you are and help them follow you better? So God, I pray for the message this morning that's spoken. I pray it's your words, not mine. And may your will be done. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, what's interesting to note here, and I want you to see, is what God does right at the beginning of this moment, before we start with the Passover, God does something. He tells the people, if you look at verse 2, he says, from now on, this month that the Passover starts, this is going to be the first month from you. Like, this is going to be your first month. It's kind of like coming up to you and saying, hey, you know the month of October? Yeah, that's the start of the year now. All right, I'm just going to say that. October is when the year starts, no longer January. That's what God is doing here. He's going to say, hey, you know what? The Passover, this month when this happens, that's the start of the year for you. No more are you going to be following what Pharaoh says, what the system says. No, you're going to be following my way. And the cool thing about God is he consistently shows his character throughout Scripture. And here's a glimpse at God's character. It's another way that God says, hey, your life, it shouldn't revolve around what the world says. Your life should revolve about what I say and who I am. It shouldn't revolve around what Pharaoh says. It shouldn't revolve around what you think is right or what you might want. Your life, if you choose to follow me, should revolve around me. Now, again, we hear that, and some of us may pause and say, well, that sounds weird. That sounds selfish because we've grown up in a culture that says you should do whatever you want to do. You should be whoever you want to be. So when we hear about God saying, hey, your life is about me and revolving around me, we're like, that's selfish. But if we look at this and who God is, it's what God is about to do in this story that shows why God is not selfish here, but he is graciously saying, hey, you're going to want your life to revolve around me, because if it doesn't, it's going to get bad. It's going to get bad because I know how ugly sin is. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But God shares with all the people of Israel, he says what? He says to grab a lamb or a young goat, and you're going to sacrifice this to start Passover. And I would think a lot of us in here hearing about animal sacrifices, that's a little weird to us. And again, we've kind of talked about this through Exodus, but some of you may be visiting here for the first time this morning. Some of you may not fully understand Old Testament ideas and sacrifices, and that sounds weird. And you know what? I'm willing to bet it sounded a little weird to the people of God too. Because this is the instance, probably for these people that have been in slavery for years, this is the first instance that God would tell them, hey, I want you to sacrifice an animal. I would have been a little thrown off if I was the people of Israel. Like, you want me to do what? That's just weird. That's gross. Why would God make people do this? Why would God tell people to sacrifice a lamb and a goat? What are we getting at here? But this practice, it was about the sacrifice, but it like wasn't fully about the sacrifice. And I'm going to explain that. The Passover, it wasn't fully about saving the people of Israel from this last plague, right? This last plague, if you guys know about this, God was going to send the angel of death to go and kill all of the firstborn boys in the land. But he said he was going to protect the people of Israel by them sacrificing the lamb or goat. And we're going to explain this throughout this series, right? But it wasn't just about saving the people from the angel of death. It certainly did. And this Passover was going to be celebrated for years and years and years. It was going to be a tradition, but it wasn't fully about that, because the Passover was pointing to an even greater sacrifice. Like, yes, it was about the lamb, like the actual lamb and the actual goat, but it like wasn't about the actual lamb and the actual goat. And that's a lot of what the Bible does, especially in the Old Testament. You get to practices like this, and I want us to be critical thinkers with this too. As we read scripture that's completely different than our context today, that we read something as weird as animal sacrifice and we're like, what the heck is that? That you guys think, okay, God's doing something here. What's he doing? Who's he pointing to? How does this point to Jesus? So here's the incredible thing about God. This is wild to think about how God knows everything. When God instituted the Passover and how this was going to be done, he would know that this was going to be something practiced for years and years and years, all the way up until this guy named Jesus and his 12 disciples decide to practice the Passover. But you see, this time it wasn't going to be Jesus saying, all right, let's find our lamb, let's find our goat, and let's sacrifice it. But no, this time Jesus was going to sit down with his disciples and he was going to say, you know, this tradition you've been practicing for years and years and years, it wasn't about the lamb. It was about me. Because I'm going to be the one sacrificed. And it's not just going to cover the sins of the people. No, it's going to cover the sins of everyone. If you look at Mark 14, verse 12, you don't have to flip there, but I'm going to read this to you. It says there, Jesus and his disciples, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples asked him, where do you want us to go to prepare the Passover meal? They're still practicing this. And God told the people of Israel, back in this time, back in Exodus, he says to grab a lamb, to grab a goat, you're going to sacrifice it, but it really wasn't about the lamb or goat. You know why? Let me give you some instances in the New Testament that this was not pointing to a lamb or goat here in this story. This was pointing to Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 29, do you know what John the Baptist says as Jesus is walking down the road? John says this. He says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In Isaiah 53:7, it talks about that he was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter. And then Exodus 12:6, it says to take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day, and then you're going to sacrifice this lamb. God knew that this moment in which a blameless lamb would be sacrificed here in this Exodus story for the protection of the Israelite people would actually point to an even greater sacrifice for the protection of every single one of you guys. So yes, the Passover was about this lamb or goat, but it wasn't. This was all pointing, and God somehow in his amazingness just knew what was coming. And he's like, I'm going to institute this idea so that when Jesus comes, the people might understand what this really means. And it's like, oh, now I know why we sacrifice lambs. It's because that helps us understand what Jesus is going to do. You know, we read this story and you probably begin to ask, and this is why I got into this life's not fair thing, because my initial reaction to reading this story, why does a little baby lamb have to die? That doesn't seem fair. Right? Thinking about the animal. But really, the question we should be asking is, why did Jesus have to die? That's not fair. That's not fair, right? That's a better question to ask, because this story, it only reveals a piece of the ugliness and the seriousness of sin. If you're more upset this morning of reading this story and you're more upset with a lamb being killed than Jesus being killed, there's a problem there. I have to think, it's kind of like the people, you know, when you watch a movie and there's chaos and destruction happening all around and people are dying, but God forbid the dog dies, right? All right, those people, okay, they're going like flies, but not the dog, right? There's a problem if we're looking at this lamb and like, not the lamb, and not understanding that there is seriousness that comes with the sacrifice of Jesus. But it's true, right? I feel like we don't fully understand the weight of our sin. I feel like we don't fully understand the ugliness, the seriousness that happens when we deliberately disobey God. Guys, it is ugly. It is serious. It is horrible. God, here's the thing. God would not have made animal sacrifices a thing if that didn't need to happen. If that ugliness and seriousness and sacrifice need to happen, that would just be ludicrous for God to just randomly say, hey, just kill an animal and that'll cover. Like, no, sin is ugly and it is messy because it goes completely against the perfection and the goodness of who God is and who God created us to be, that we deliberately would disobey that. It's bad, and yet we don't understand. Here's the thing. We don't understand the death and the sacrifice of Jesus unless we really understand how ugly our sin is and why that had to happen. But I also think we can flip that around, that we don't fully understand the ugliness and the seriousness of sin until we truly understand the ugliness and the seriousness of the cross. Now, when you guys actually think about that, maybe that can give you a better picture of how bad and how much God despises sin. But here's the thing this morning, and the encouragement I want to give you guys this morning, that even in our misunderstanding, even when we don't understand how serious sin is and we go about doing whatever we want, even in our continual disobedience, Jesus still went to the cross to die for you when really we should have. And let me tell you, that's not fair. That's not fair. That Jesus, the Son of God, who lived a perfect life, that he has to go for the ugliness of each and every one of our sins, that's not fair. But that's something called grace. That's something called grace, that Jesus, being God, being the Son of God, would come and he'd die for us when we deserved it. Because he loved us that much. And he said, you know what? They don't fully understand how bad it is. They keep disobeying me, but yet I love them too much to stand by and let that happen. And so that's why Jesus went to the cross. Guys, this Passover, like, we're going to be talking about the different traditions and the things that happen with the Passover, but what I want us to do is to look at this story and think, how does this point to Jesus? How does this show us how important it is to understand the cross and how much it has done for each and every one of you guys? It is everything. It is everything to us. Here's the kind of the last piece I want to share with us this morning. This little lamb in this story, who the family, they better not get attached to this lamb, by the way, about what's about to happen. But this little lamb in Exodus chapter 12 that they say to go gather, to go find him, to go bring him to your house. Let's call this lamb Timmy. Okay? Little Timmy. And let's say you've got little Timmy and he's going to be the one. This little lamb named Timmy is going to be the one to save your family from death. The only thing standing between death and freedom is this little lamb. I tell you what, I would just look at that lamb and say, I can't begin to say how thankful I am that I'm looking at this little innocent animal that's going to have to die, that's done nothing wrong, and it's like, you're going to save me. You're going to save me and my family from death. How could you not be attached to the thing? How could you not want to wrap that thing up and protect it? Yet this is going to be the lamb that protects you and the family. And here's the thing, even in a greater way, this story points to the fact that Jesus, as the Lamb of God, he stands between your death and your freedom. He stands between there, and he is the only lamb that can save us. That Jesus stands between death and life and protects each and every one of us from that because he went to the cross and was sacrificed. And you know what? He did. And was it fair? No. But our Lamb of God, he went to the cross for each and every one of you and protected you from death. Let me tell you what, that's power. That's power that Jesus, as this innocent lamb, can go and protect every single one of you from death and give you freedom. That's power. He's the only one that could defeat death because he's God. But you know what? The sacrifice isn't just power, it's also grace, because he's the only one that would take our place in this instance. But it isn't just power that Jesus is. It isn't just grace that he is. Man, this is love. And Jesus is the only one I know that could love like that. To say, that's not fair. You're going to continue to disobey me. You're not going to understand the ugliness of your sin. Yet I'm still going to go because I love you that much. And I'm going to offer you grace. And I know I'm powerful enough to defeat it. Guys, this morning I am clinging to that. I am clinging to the Lamb that takes away my punishment, that forgives my sin, that I'm going to look at Jesus and understand how much power he has, how much grace he has, how much love he has. I'm going to look at him and say, you are protecting me from death, and you are offering me freedom and eternal life and heaven. Are you kidding me? I don't deserve that. And this morning, when we read about a little lamb killed during Passover, however not fair it is, we remember the Lamb of God. Guys, this morning, can we remember Jesus? And how powerful and how gracious and how loving he is, that he is the one that stands between death and freedom and says to sin and says to Satan and says to death, he says, no, you're not getting them. I've beaten you. So this morning, I want to invite us to stand right now, and we're going to stand, and we're going to worship, and we're going to praise the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let's worship.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the message, we'd love it if you would join us on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for our Eastview Students High School service. We also want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast and share it to your social media accounts. To stay up to date, check us out on Instagram at EastviewHSM and check out our Eastview Students YouTube channel. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.